This RRFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. Today we are talking about Jesus's 12 disciples, and since some of them were fishermen, I'm also going to tell you some fishermen stories. And also we're going to talk about a fish that is a fisherman as well. Very interesting fish. So we've just done the Easter story, and I thought from there we would go kind of rewind a little bit and tell some of the stories about Jesus. So we were in the Old Testament learning about Joshua, and we've kind of done the Old Testament for a long time, so I thought it might be nice to do some stories from the New Testament, some stories from the life of Jesus. So today we're going to start with when he was about 30, and that's kind of when he began his public ministry and started to travel around and to preach and to heal people and do miracles. And he also called 12 different men to be his special disciples, to be his special friends, to travel with him, to learn from him, to help him. So that's what we're learning about today, the 12 disciples. So over time, he called 12 different men to come and follow him. But I'm going to tell you a story about how it happened with some of these disciples, like how it all started with them. So Jesus was starting to kind of preach and teach people. And a lot of people wanted to come and hear what he had to say. And he was standing by the lake, and people are crowding around to listen to him. And, you know, it's getting a little bit, you know, he's kind of getting pushed towards the water. But there were some fishermen who had boats in the lake, and the fishermen were not in the boats at the time. They were washing their nets. And so Jesus, like, they were friends of Jesus, and so he borrowed one of their boats, and he got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter, and he asked him to push the boat out a little bit from the land. And so when he did that, he sat down on the boat, and so the people are still on the beach, and he taught them from the boat. Now, that would have been a special service, sitting on the beach listening to somebody who is sitting in a boat. But when he'd finished speaking to the people, he said to Simon Peter, "Go out into the deep water and let down your nets to catch some fish." And Peter said, "But Jesus, we were been fishing all night and we didn't catch anything. But since you said so, I will let down the net." And so Peter let down the net, and when he did that, there were so many fish that came into the net that the net started to break. And so they said to their friends in another boat to come and help them. And so they came and they started filling up the boats with the fish, and there were so many fish that the boats were beginning to sink. They were getting so overloaded. So Peter, you know, he's a fisherman, but he knows Jesus already. And he's been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. And now that Jesus has told him to, he let down his net. And now he's got so many fish, he doesn't know what to do with them all. Like, his boat is about to sink. And Peter, he became like, he had got a real awe of Jesus, because he realized Jesus wasn't just an ordinary person. Jesus had just done this huge miracle, and he started to not feel good about himself. He started to feel very unclean, very sinful. Being around Jesus made him feel very uncomfortable. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he said, "Go away from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." But so he started being around Jesus, he started to realize how sinful he was. And so he said to Jesus, "Go away from me, I'm sinful." But Jesus didn't say, "Oh, are you really? I didn't know that." No, you know what Jesus said to him? He said, don't be scared. From now on, you're going to catch men instead of fish. And so what Jesus meant is that he wanted Peter to follow him, and instead of, you know, working to catch fish, he was going to work to tell people about God, and to teach people instead of trying to get fish. And so they brought the boats to the land, and these fishermen, they left their ships. I don't know what they did with all those fish, but they followed Jesus. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So, you know, when you get to know God, that can do the same thing for you. It can make you realize how sinful you are, because God is so awesome and so holy. We realize how sinful we are, and yet Jesus didn't say, go away from me. He didn't say, oh, you're too sinful for me to use. I don't want to be around you. He said, no, come follow me. Be with me. And so no matter how sinful we are, Jesus cares about us and loves us and wants us to follow him. So first I'm going to sing a little song about Jesus calling the disciples, and this song has all the names of the disciples.
Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Then came Philip, Thomas too, Matthew, and Bartholomew, James, the one they called the Less, Simon, also Thaddeus, the 12th disciple Judas made. Jesus was by him betrayed. Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Then came Philip, Thomas too, Matthew, and Bartholomew, James, the one they called the Less, Simon, also Thaddeus, the 12th disciple Judas made. Jesus was by him betrayed.
And I have another song which is based on the words of Jesus, because he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me, if you follow me, if you follow me. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest.
And I'm going to sing one more song called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, because it's the same today. Jesus calls us to follow him and to be his disciple and to learn from him, which is the best thing you can ever do.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. If no one joins me, just before me, the world behind me, thy cross before me, the world behind me, thy cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back.
So let's talk for a minute about the fishing fish. So this is a very odd looking fish. It's actually quite creepy looking. And it is called the angler fish, which is found near Java and Malaysia. So they have very big, like wide mouths, which are a bit like a frog, which is why they're often called frog fish. Their mouth are filled with long, sharp teeth and can stretch many times their normal size so that they can swallow fish as large as themselves. But there's something very interesting about this fish. It's like they have a built-in fishing rod. So they have this little bit like a growth coming out of the top of their body. And it kind of like it comes down, and it in the end it has like a little light in it. So if it's swimming along, you know, in the dark water, it shines its little light, and then other fish or animals will be attracted to that light and will come to have a look, and that fish will gobble them up. So it's really like a fish that is a fisherman. So that's a really, that's kind of an amazing wonder from the ocean. The anglerfish, which has its own fishing line, which is built in, and it can unfold its rod and like lie it back on the top of its head. So that's quite interesting. Something amazing that God created. But now I'm going to tell you a story called The Poor Fisherman. So there was once a poor fisherman whose wife had gone to heaven and left him with several children whom he had to take care of all by himself. One winter, the weather had been so bad for a long time that he couldn't go out fishing, and at last all of his money was gone and the bread too. So now there was nothing in the house, no food either for him or for his little children. And the poor children were crying for food. The dad didn't know what to do. But he was someone who believed in Jesus, and he knew that God loved him, and he knew some of the promises in the Bible that if we ask God for help, he will help us. And so he knelt down and he told the Lord all about his troubles and asked him to provide food for his little children. And then to try to distract his children, he put his little girl on his shoulder and carried her down to the village. But just then a pie man walked by, and he had some nice pies in a tray on his head. And the poor little girl stretched out her hand to take one. But her father, with a sad heart, said she couldn't have one because he had no money to pay for it. Man, that must have really hurt him to have to say no to getting food for his hungry child. And then to make him feel even worse, she just started to cry and cry. And so he had to take her home again. And so he took off his coat as he came inside, and he got a surprise to see a coin, which was a shilling, which probably in that day, you know, was worth a bit of money. It flew out of his pocket and rolled upon the floor. Then he remembered that just at the moment when his little girl was crying for the pies, and he had to tell her he didn't have money to buy any, a lady bumped against him. And now he saw that she must have pushed that shilling into his pocket to help him out. So he quickly put his coat back on again and ran out to go buy some food. And you know, God had answered his prayer. But you know, just the timing of that, he walked down the street just when the pie man was going past His little girl started crying, and then that lady who was walking right past then just quickly put the money in his pocket. So God answered that man's prayer in an amazing way. Now there's another story called the Icelandic fisherman. God, if there be a God, give me food. Send a bird I can shoot and kill to feed my starving family. The wind whipped the frayed tatters of Eric's clothing about his thin body as he stood upon the beach, trembling with weakness and crying out in despair to a God he wasn't even sure existed. As he scanned the sky, a large edible bird flew over his head. With a great effort, he tried to control the shaking of his hands as he raised his gun and pulled the trigger. In a moment, the bird lay at his feet. Strange new thoughts filled Eric's mind as he struggled up the rugged cliff to his fisherman's hut, overlooking the wild waters of the Skagafjord in Iceland. He now had food for his hungry family, and it appeared to have come as an answer to his prayer. Could there really be a God? A God who knew him and cared about him? A God who could command a bird, who could direct his bullet where he had been too weak and unsteady to take aim? Eric and his family had always been poor. At times the fishing was better than others, and there was plenty of food upon the table. But all too often he was tormented by hearing his children cry from hunger. The day came where he felt he could stand it no longer. He took his gun and he was going to end his life. But you know what happened? He fainted. And when he came to himself, he stumbled down to the beach and he cried aloud to God for a bird to shoot, and God had answered. Eric and his fellow villagers, they were rough. They lived a rough life. God and Jesus were swear words to them. Cheating, stealing, drinking, fighting, that was their lifestyle. But in the years that followed, Eric often thought about how God that one day had heard his desperate cry for food. As he spent lonely hours in his fishing boat out on the icy waters of the fjord, he wondered if there was a way a man could get to know more about God. Then Eric began to have spells of sickness that grew increasingly worse. His lack of food and threadbare clothing, his exposure to bitter weather caused him to cough until he began to bleed from his lungs. He had great pain in his back. No doctor in the area could help him, so he borrowed money and went to see doctors in larger villages. Soon his money was gone and his sickness was worse. "Why don't you try the English missionary in Akuri?" someone suggested. "He isn't a doctor, but he does give pills and he doesn't ask for money." Eric had given up hope that he would ever be well again, but as there was nothing to lose, he knocked one day upon Arthur Gook's door. As the missionary listened to Eric's explanation of his symptoms, he prayed earnestly to God for wisdom. He realized Eric's condition was a serious one, far beyond his limited medical skill to cope with. Thoughtfully, he selected a medicine he knew would help him to build up Eric's strength. Then he also carefully chose several pamphlets for him to take home and read. He doubted that he would ever see Eric again, and he wanted Eric to learn the good news that God loved him and had sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for his sins that he might be ready to meet God. Eric promised to take the medicine regularly and to read the pamphlets. As Mr. Gook watched him wearily turn homeward, it didn't seem possible that Eric would live long. However, an enthusiastic letter from Eric arrived a month later. He was feeling much better. Could he have more medicine and more to read? Another month and a similar letter arrived. A few months later, Mr. Gook received a letter with the good news that Eric could now row his boat and work his nets without becoming sick. The pain was gone from his back. Best of all, he was now trusting the Saviour Mr. Gook had introduced him to. This was so wonderful to Eric, he felt he dare not keep it to himself. He began sharing the story of God's love and salvation with his fishing pals and neighbors. Then he asked Mr. Gook if he could have a supply of Bibles and Testaments and the leaflets that had helped him. He felt that he would like to use his now strong back for the Lord by carrying a pack of literature to more distant places. So it was that week after week, Eric tramped over the hills and valleys, often through deep snow, until practically every home in Scargaford County had a copy of God's Good News. Eric's neighbors couldn't understand the change that had taken place in him. He didn't use swear words anymore. He didn't get angry easily anymore. Even when he was hungry, he wouldn't cheat or steal. They became strangely uncomfortable when he was around. He was now the kind of man they each knew they should be, but in their hearts they knew it was impossible for them to be like him. Another long spell of poor fishing occurred when many families were hungry. Fish were teeming in the deep waters, but the herring that they needed for bait were not running. Day after day, the herring nets hung limp and empty. Eric was away with his literature pack when the good news came that a trawler had just been put in at Sigluford, the next large port, loaded with herring. Immediately, each one brought what money he could scrape together to send to purchase the bait. When the load arrived and was being divided, someone ventured a cruel suggestion. "What do you say, men? Let's leave Eric out of this haul. He wasn't here to put any money down, so I'm all for leaving him out. Let's see what the God he talks so much about can do for him." Wow. When Eric returned to the village, he found the men busy with their fishing gear, but no one would share any herring with him. When he realized that the men deliberately wouldn't listen to him, he turned and made his way slowly up the steep cliff to his hut. How could he face his four hungry children and his wife? Had God forgotten him? No. Into his mind came the promises of God. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee," and many more promises. As Eric remembered God's promises, he was able to trust in the Lord. Having nothing better to do, he decided to go check his patched up herring net, although he knew there was little likelihood of finding even a few stray herring in it. Many weeks had passed since there had been herring in the ford. The men of Iceland are such keen, experienced fishermen that they can not only tell whether there are fish running in the water or not, but also what kind as they look out across the fords. Still, God seemed to be prompting Eric to go look at his net. The news spread among the villagers who were watching Eric curiously that he was going to look at his net. This was a great joke to some, and they decided to go along to laugh at his foolishness. Eric's net was not in the best position. Better nets were placed where they would catch the most herring, and these the men drew up first. One after another was thrown back in disgust as it proved to be empty. Finally, they came to Eric's net. At the first pull, it seemed to be caught. What could be holding it back? Bending their strength, the men pulled again, and at last it came up, full of herring. In great excitement, the men ran to the remaining nets, but as they pulled them out, they found there were no herring in any of the other nets. The men stood speechless with astonishment while Eric thanked and praised the Lord. Still wondering, they helped him into the village with his great catch. In no time, an excited crowd gathered to hear the story. Then Eric, with a beaming face, invited others to share with him and began joyfully to divide his herring among the other poor villagers who had not been able to purchase much from the recent trawler supply. As the news spread, this generous act of returning good for evil was almost greater in the minds of the Icelandic fishermen than the miraculous net full of herring. Surely only God could so change a man's heart. Eric found the doors and hearts of people everywhere began opening to him in his travels. One day, Mr. Gook received a letter from Eric asking him to come and preach in his village. He wrote, "The people are ready to listen to you now." When Arthur Gook came in answer to that letter to Hofsos, Iceland, he found that the largest building couldn't hold the crowds of people who came. Eager to hear the message that had so changed the life of Eric the fisherman, to Eric the fisherman for Christ. And this story was actually published in the newspaper at the time in Hofsos. So that is a very amazing story, and it's actually quite similar to the story about Peter and how, you know, Jesus filled up the net. Now I've got another story called Blind Loy. Yeah, Blind Loy. Yes, it was true. He was going blind. 18-year-old Loy walked slowly down the dusty road of a small Chinese town. A smallpox epidemic had killed many of his family and friends. He himself had almost died, but his strong young body had been able to fight off the disease. He thought he'd completely recovered, until his eyes began bothering him. At first he didn't think much about it, but then his eyes got worse. Within a few weeks, he was almost totally blind. Now a doctor had told him that he could not help him. There was no hope. Loy thought about what he would do now. He wondered if it would not be easier to die than to live as a blind beggar. He knew his family couldn't take care of him. Like many others, he would have to spend the rest of his life begging, "Alms, alms." What a future for someone who had made such good plans for his life. He was only 18. The weeks passed and Loy's eyes were now completely blind. Life for him was useless. Most days he thought about the easiest way to end his life. Nearby was a river that he enjoyed swimming in many times. Now he decided that drowning in this river was the only thing left to do. For Loy, this seemed the easiest way out of his difficulty. He had never read a Bible nor heard about the love of God. He didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus. Where he was, they worshipped idols. To him, it seemed that death would be far better than the unhappiness of being one of the blind beggars of China. It was a cold night. Loy put on his heavy winter clothes before walking down the path toward the river. He had followed this path many times, so he did not need a guide. At the end of the river, he waited only a moment before jumping into the water. But God was watching. He loved Loy, and he had another plan for his life. The quilted clothes he was wearing held many little pockets of air and acted like a life preserver. Instead of sinking, Loy floated and was carried down the river by the current. About a mile down from where Loy had jumped into the river, God had sent a Christian fisherman to fish during the quiet night hours. Hoi Chung was using a large net to catch fish. Just as Loy was floating by, the old fisherman began to draw in his net. God's plan was unfolding. As Hoi Chung pulled in the net, he said to himself, "My net is very heavy. I've caught something large." As he pulled the net to shore and reached in for the fish, his hand touched Loy. "Oh, it's a man, it's a man," cried the old fisherman. "And he is alive. Yes, it's a man, and he is still alive." With great difficulty, Hoi Chan half carried and half dragged the nearly unconscious Loy to his little hut up on the bank. He built up a fire to warm Loy and to dry his clothes. Hoi Chan was not only a man who caught fish, but he knew the promise of the Lord Jesus, "I will make you fishers of men." At once he cast in his gospel line. Tears came to his eyes as he talked to Loy and told him about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved him and wanted to save him from his hopeless life. Hoi Chan remembered the stories in the Bible about the Lord Jesus healing blind men's eyes, and he told Loy all about them. Then he explained that Christ might not cure his eyes of blindness, but could cure his heart of blindness. Loy listened closely to everything Hui Chan told him. He soon saw his need of a saviour, and looking up through blind eyes, he said, "Lord Jesus, I give my life to thee. Save me now." The Lord Jesus always hears these simple calls from hearts that accept the love and mercy he offers. Loy was saved, and it wasn't long before others heard his story. He began to tell others about what Christ had done for him. Many listened to the amazing story that he told of how God had pulled him from the river, saving him from both drowning and from judgment. He told the gospel in a simple but effective way. The old fisherman was his teacher, and later Hui Chan passed him on to others who were able to teach him more. But Loy's gospel message, along with his Christian life, was a miracle in itself. When he spoke, others saw that it was from his heart, and many believed. God opened China to Loy, the blind gospel preacher. He traveled the dusty roads from village to village and into the big cities. He learned to read the Braille Bible and carried it with him every place he went. Walking the dusty roads or riding the riverboats, his message was the same. I've been snatched from death by the hand of God, and I have been saved by the blood of Jesus.